Lord, for the good prayer service we've already had and for the good singing tonight. Pray the Lord's blessings upon us now through our study. If you would, I'd like to go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 3, and we'll open up with verse 14. This is come to the end of what is known as the church age tonight. You come to Laodicea. You're at the very end of the church age, right before the time of rapture. And the next thing you see concerning the church is, as a matter of fact, in chapter 4, you see her around the throne of God. The 24 elders speak to that, and we'll get into that in several weeks down the road. After tonight, Lord willing, we will begin a study on the reasoning and the understanding of the pre-tribulation rapture of the saints. As I said, there is a group of individuals today who are really pushing this thing of mid-tribulation or post-tribulation rapture. And I'm talking about even amongst Baptists. And what the problem is, they are going along with men's teaching instead of defining the Word of God with the Word of God. And you're seeing a lot of falsehood come. And God says, and even this morning, I brought out very plainly what's going to happen with the wrath of God. It's not going to be placed on none of His children. The wrath of God is not for His children. It's for all unbelievers. And it's for the devil and the fallen angels and the demons. That's where the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon. Even in the beginning of the time of tribulation or the beginning of Jacob's trouble, the things that it comes in kind of easy and softly, this is not for the church. The church, as we come to the end of Laodicea, is the end of the church age as far as we know it in our dispensation now. And there's coming a time, and you see, even in tonight's service, you'll see a great deal in the time in which we now live. You will see a great deal of the Laodicean church age now. You see it all across our land. You see people that have become indifferent to the things of God and to the will of God and the church of the living God, the Word of God, and all these things. People are getting kind of, kind of seared in their thought process as it concerns these great old truths that God's people need to really take a good hold of today. But the Bible says here in Revelation 3 and 14, unto the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. Or these things that saith he that is true. Or let it be so. The faithful and true witness of the beginning of creation of God. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have no need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Bible teaches us that among the bride, it is a bride who has made herself ready, whose garments are white and clean and pure. And there are those in this world today amongst the saved that are not of the bride. That is another teaching altogether. But there are those in church today that are not going to be in the bride because they're spotted, Their garments are not white and pure. They have allowed certain things to transpire in their lives and to get in, infiltrate their lives. But here the Bible says in verse 18, I counsel thee. Jesus Christ, as he, as he is bringing this out and he's talking to the church of Laodicea. He's talking to a group of individuals. He's talking to those that have made up a church. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and not that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, he says, I stand at the door and knock. Now, you be very careful. I don't know what kind of Bible that you use. You know, it's King James, I'm sure. But be very careful about the words that are found written of men in your Bible in the side margins or in the middle margins or underneath it where they begin to give you their thoughts about this. Because here's where you'll see a lot of commentators begin to say that Jesus Christ stands at the door and knocks on the door of the lost sinner's heart. That's not true. God does not knock on the lost sinner's door. God does not stand there until he's finally, you hear that old song sang many times, and we have sang it here before, if I'm not mistaken. It's an old song that speaks about the fact that he was there and he finally just turns away. You know, they talk about the fact that you can, as a lost sinner, you can finally cause him to turn away from you. My God doesn't do that. If you're one of his sheep, if you're one of those lost sheep, you know what he's going to do? He's not going to just stand there and knock at your door. Listen, he's going to come in and grab a hold of you and pull you unto himself. So that's the reason why that when we come to this part here in the Word of God where he says that he's standing at the door and he knocks, he says again, look at verse number 20. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now look at this very closely and understand what is being said here. Again, remember, in an earlier verse here, we talked about the words chastening in verse 19 and rebuking in verse 19. The Lord only chastens those whom He loves. And the Lord only chastens those who are His. He does not chasten another one's children. He says in verse 20 again, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Folks, once again, we're not talking about salvation here. This is coming right back to the fellowship of the Holy Spirit with God's children. The Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ as He has fellowship, communion with us as a body. You know, that's the reason why. Folks, that's the reason why that for as many years as I've been here, I have always opened up our service with this word and with this exhortation to know that somewhere in this house, not only in our hearts, but somewhere in this house, God's Holy Spirit is here. There's a reason why that I preach that. And it's found in the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew, it talks about the fact where two or three are gathered in my name. He says, there I am in the midst. I'm talking about that tonight among us. If the candlestick is still within this body. Now think about this. We've already discussed the candlestick. Folks, without the candlestick, we would be nothing. We would be nothing more than an organization, more such as a country club or whatever you want to call yourselves. There'd be no more than that, because, listen, they have no more than that if they don't have the candlestick, and we have the candlestick. I feel in my heart as the pastor of the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church that we are here tonight worshiping Spirit and Truth, and we do have God's Spirit in this house. God's Spirit. He says unto the church at Laodicea, I stand at the door and knock. He's saying to the church at Laodicea, I am here to give you blessings. I am here to commune with you, to fellowship with you, if only you realize that I'm at the door. If only you realize that I'm here knocking upon the door of this body. He goes on to say, in verse 20 again, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. And then we go into this verse 21 and 22, where the Bible says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and I am set down with my Father in his throne. You can drop right down to verse 4 of chapter 4, and there you'll see where that begins to take place, where the 24 elders are gathered around what? The throne of God. Folks, tonight, as we look into this study, may our minds and our hearts take in this great warning to the church of Laodicea. May we as a body tonight have this same firm confirmation in our hearts that we have the Holy Spirit here. And we are not... Listen, we are not above our race. And listen, God's people need to realize that we cannot come to just a point in time in our lives when we say, I think we've arrived. It kills worship. It destroys the time we gather together to fellowship with Him when we think that we've arrived. We become like the church at Laodicea. May God help us. Brother Jonathan, would you take us for a throne of grace, please? Amen. The indifferent church, neither cold nor hot. Dearly beloved, tonight our study concludes our lessons on the seven churches. And Laodicea is that kind of church that the Lord said, I will spew you out of my mouth. Here at the end of the church age, Jesus Christ Himself says there is a group of individuals that just really makes me sick. This is what happens to a church when there is indifference involved. And when you're indifferent, listen, it is neither, it shows a lack of interest and care or concern. Like for our worship, like for our singing, our praying, our reading of the Word of God, our coming to the house of God, our time of being Christ-like, and our time of telling others about Jesus, when we become indifferent to those things, when we neither consider them high priorities in our life, not low priorities, but not high, it's kind of right there in the middle, we can take it or leave it. It shows a lack of importance or insignificance, which favors neither side, only average. Now, Emmanuel asks you the question tonight, do you, when you stand before God, do you wish to be only an average Christian? Do you wish to be only known as an average church member of an average church in the average life of the day-to-day walk of Americans today? You know, even in school when we were growing up, you know, just an average, just to be average, to me, I was just that average person. I was neither a scholar. I wasn't no dummy, but I wasn't a scholar. I was just kind of right there in the middle, and I never gained ground, really. I never really took off and grabbed a hold of the goal before me and really excelled myself in the art of learning. I was just right there in the middle. There were those at our time of graduation, and I think in our graduating class when Sister Debbie and myself graduated, I think there was over 300 and some people. Was it close to 350 people thereabout? And there were those that were mentioned in with great honors. You know, I sat back there that day and I thought, man, if only I had applied myself a little bit more, I could be right there receiving those great honors. I could have been that one wearing that sash or that belt around my waist or what have you. But I never really applied myself. And the same thing goes for the house of God too. There was a time in my life when I was neither hot nor cold. I was just kind of right there in the middle, just squeaking by, so to speak, in my Christian life. God says there was a time when you made me sick. Speaking about myself, He says there's a time as I read the Word of God. He said, there was a time, John Lybrook, when you absolutely made me sick. Indifference. An indifferent lifestyle. Just squeaking by, and not really being on fire for God. I wasn't cold, but I wasn't on fire for God, and I was just right there in the middle. I remember there was a time when Brother Grigsby brought a message in, and I knew that without a shadow of a doubt, that message was meant for me. If nobody else, and me and Brother Grigsby, there was times, as I've mentioned it right here, even with him sitting right here, you know, I wasn't a good church member for Brother Grigsby. There was times when I was not a good church member. There was times when I would not do the things that I know needed to be done, and I would just kind of stay back in the corners and the recesses and let everybody else take care of all those things. I was filled with indifference. But he brought a message one night that pricked my heart, and it caused me to realize that, listen, there's a way for God's people to act, and it's not with indifference. It's either, you're either on fire for God or you're just plumb cold. But he says one thing I hate, and he says that's lukewarmness. That's the reason why that I nearly with every opening of each service open with the importance of and insistence of our thoughts being centered around the fact that not only is the Holy Spirit here in our hearts, but that the teaching of the candlestick promotes the fact that He is in each and every service that we open with. Because again, in Matthew 18 and 20, Jesus Christ speaks here. He says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, He says, there I'm in the midst. Folks, I believe just that tonight. Now, I don't know where you stand. I don't know as far as your spiritual state tonight, whether you really believe that He's in this house or not, outside of our hearts, and whether He's in this house or not. I hope you know that He's in this place. Because if He's not here and the candlestick is removed, the power, the effective power of the Holy Spirit is gone, then we have nothing here to live for. We have nothing. He says, you're in a place where I just assumed to spew you out of my mouth. So many today gather without the consideration that He's here. Indifferent to the fact that He is here to empower us and our services. But first of all tonight, I want to skip past the part where the announcement of who it is to speak. And we know who it is after six churches. We know who it is here in the seventh church also. It is none other than Jesus Christ as He speaks the great I Am as He's offering to this body a concern. He says in verses 15 through 17, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. He says, I wish you was one way or the other. I wish you was either hot or cold. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Is that not where a lot of so-called, what I would call super saints are tonight? They are in a position where they feel like they have no need of anything. And when that becomes engrafted in the church, when a church feels like she's at her pinnacle, she's at her moment in time in life, and she has need of nothing, that's when the Lord says, that's one thing I can't stand. Listen, we are always in need of the Lord's power, aren't we? We're all always in need of the Holy Spirit intervention in our lives, giving us direction in our day-to-day walk, giving us direction in His will and what it is His will is for us. We need Him every day. We need Him every hour. This church here, Laodicea, here in the end of the church age, she is saying that she has need of nothing. And it goes on to say, as Jesus speaks here, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. As I've said a moment ago, there's a lot of churches meeting tonight who feel within themselves that they've arrived. They're at the pinnacle of their doctrinal knowledge and ability to bring that doctrine to the people. They have no need of anything else. They're right where they want to be. But the question is, are you where God wants you? Are you where God wants you tonight? You see, this church of Laodicea was self-sufficient. She was satisfied with right where she was at. She had no need of anything. You know, a church that finds herself in this condition, who has no need of anything, one of the things that begins to wane and begins to fall away is her worship. Her time of gathering together to worship the great I Am who has given us all this power and authority. And today we see people that have no respect for the Word of God nor the house of God. We see people that have no respect for each other. We have no respect for their teachers, their pastors, their deacons. They have no respect for the things of God and the biblical standards of life. It's all because of a lukewarm church, an indifferent church. He says again in verse 17, thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Since there was nothing to commend this church for, listen, Christ got straight to the point, did He not? Deeds, listen to this, deeds always reveal the people's true spiritual ideology and their life makeup right now. The things we do or do not do tell a spiritual story about us as individuals. Every person in this house, even tonight from this pastor right on through to the back, the person at the back door. Listen, every one of us, we don't live to ourselves. We will not die to ourselves either. Every one of us one day will give an account for the life that we live. And, you know, I've heard it said, I've heard men say here, different churches they've been in. I've heard men say that there was absolutely no feeling of the Holy Spirit presence or power in that body. Folks, that could happen right here too. We could be right on the edge of falling away, that great falling away that's taking place all over this world today. There is a great falling away taking place. You know who's falling away? Those who had something to fall away from. The sound, doctrinally sound Baptist Bible believing church. There are those today who have absolutely waned in their support for the Word of God and the effectiveness of God and His Holy Spirit in the house. They depend on so-called power music. They depend on, like I say, high-pressured evangelists. Big-name speakers or big-name singing groups to come in to build up the power in the church. You know what that does? It doesn't build up the Holy Spirit in the church. The only thing it builds up is the fleshly pride within us as a people. There's a reason why that we must stay with the old ways. There's a reason why that God says that I want you to stay by the old stuff. I want you to walk in the old ways, wherein is the good way. The old paths, folks. Jeremiah was true about it. And Jeremiah laid that claim out to all who would hear, stay with the stuff and walk in the old paths. Because our deeds, or the lack of our deeds, tell the story about our spiritual welfare. What have we given up on? What have we as a group of baptized believers, even in this body, what have we quit on? Have we quit on anything that would show the spiritual indifference that we are involved in? You see, those are things that cannot be hid. Those are things that are open before all men's eyes and definitely open before the Holy Spirit's eyes. He says, I know thy works. I know thy works. In other words, he's saying, I know your heart. I can see where there is a lackluster, a desire to worship me and to sing me songs of praise and to sit and learn of my word. Listen, I know thy works, he's saying. Emmanuel, tonight, we've got to be careful. Listen to me tonight. We're on the edge. We are people that are living right in the very edge of the end of time. We are in the Laodicean church age where that great falling away has taken place. And the Lord says, I know thy works. I can see your deeds or the lack of your deeds, and I know your spiritual welfare right now. Look with me, if you will, again to Matthew chapter 7 for just a moment. Matthew in chapter 7. Does the Bible say here in verse 16? Very simply put, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is what? Hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore? By their fruits ye shall know them. By their deeds. By their actions. By the things that a group of baptized believers, by the things that they live for. The things that they enjoy. Listen, I hope you enjoy coming to the house of God. I hope you enjoy singing songs of praise. I hope you enjoy coming together as a group of men and women and praying for this body and praying for this community and praying for the lost around us. I hope you enjoy that. It shows a great deal of importance about your soul. It talks about the deeds of your soul, your spiritual welfare. Laodicea had come to a point in her life where she was satisfied right where she is at, and things begin to fall apart around her. Churches are falling apart everywhere today, aren't they? Churches are beginning to fall away. There's things that are beginning to be accepted in the church today. The Baptist churches, there's things beginning to be accepted that before would never be accepted in a Baptist church. This teaching of a mid-tribulation rapture or post-trib rapture of the saints. That's just two of the things. That a lot of churches are going to today. You know why they're going there? They're following after the writings of men instead of the writings of God. They get on their computers and they get on their little internet search and they find this commentator and they say, well, they say this is a good man to read after. Listen, you better be careful. You better be careful because it seems to me like as many commentators that I've read after, every last one of them's got a fault. There may be those that are strong in everything except for the church, the local church, and they're weak on the local church. Better steer clear. There are those that are strong, even in the studies of Revelation. There are some great commentators to read after, but you better be careful. Because if you're not careful, you'll be following after the writings of men and not the writings of the Word of God. You have to translate the Word of God. You've got to back up the Word of God by the Word of God, not by the Word of man. You see, that's what happens. This is what happens. Men begin to chase after other men's ideas. That sounds pretty good. Brother Stephen, that sounds pretty good. I believe that'd be a good man to follow. But you know what? You read on through the passages and you find out that man, he's off biblically. Just like here where there are those people that claim that he's talking about salvation. It's the lost church that's supposed to be mentioned here. A lot of people teach. The Lord does not chasten those whom are not His. The Lord rebukes not another man's children. That's just one instance. The Lord does not knock on the sinner's heart. No, brother. Be careful. I ain't coming at you. Do you see what I'm saying there? This is an old truth that we have stood against all of. This is an old falsehood, is what I'm saying. That we have stood against for eons and eons. The Lord does not come and knock at the sinner's door and beg him to open up so he can come in. That's not the way salvation works, folks. That goes to show you that those commentators that speak of this as being about salvation are wrong. Get back to the Word. The Word says that He draws them unto Himself. And you know what? He's the door. He's not going to knock on Himself and say, I'm opening the door for you. No, He opens that door and pulls you through anyhow. Christ rebuked the Laodiceans for the lukewarmness. Now I believe there are some people, listen, some churches that really make the Lord weep. I know that. I've made the Lord weep. Some have made Him angry. There are those today that make the Lord angry. But then there is the Laodiceans. And they just make the Lord sick. He says, I'll spew you just like old Jonah was spewed out of the mouth of that whale, out of that great fish. He says, I spewed him out upon the sand. May God help us tonight. Again, Revelation 3:17 describes a self-satisfied people. But when rebuke comes from God's Word, all of a sudden there is anger amongst that people. Resentment among that people. Listen, sometimes there are those whose self-righteousness has winded and blinded their eyes. They have hardened their thoughts and minds. And they don't even know how wretched their lives look in the presence of the all-seeing eye. As I said tonight, there are churches meeting this very hour, this very moment, who don't even realize that God has spewed them out of His mouth. They don't even realize that the Holy Spirit is no longer there to empower the body or the Word. As I said, many in church services tonight are going through the motions, doing and saying all the right things, yet He says, I'll have none of it. I know thy works, He says. They are all used to beers. You know those kind of people, don't you? They used to do this or that. What happened to their fervent desire to be pleasing to God? What happened to their fervent desire to do the things that were necessary for the glory of God? What happened to those things? The Lord says, I know thy works. I know thy deeds, or the lack of deeds. And it tells a tale. You see, that's the way Laodicea was. Jesus Christ says, I know what you are. What happened to your fruit bearing? You go back to John chapter 15, that great study we had so many years ago, where the Bible says that those that are in Christ Jesus, listen, those are people who are supposed to be bearing fruit. He says, I know thy works. There are many tonight who are resting in their past accomplishments. What about today? What about the church of tomorrow? What about these little children out here who need the adults to show them the way so they will not become the church of Laodicea? So they will not become that indifferent group of individuals who just get by. May God help us tonight, Emmanuel, to always be fervent in our actions. There are little ones who watch us and that need to know the way. They need to know. And the only way they can do it is to watch us. They follow us as we follow the Lord. Listen. This year, we turn 100 years old. I don't know when the Lord's coming back. It cannot be long. And according to eternity, it won't be long. But if it's another 100 years, do you not want this body to still be flourishing in this place? It takes a people who are set apart then. It takes a people who have a desire to bring God glory and to see that our fruit does not fail on our trees. And if need be so, let us dig about our tree and let us dung that by those roots and help us to see the glory of God once again in our lives as individuals, because that makes the whole body right. This church is not built upon one man. This church is not going to stay here because of one man. I heard a church say one time when a certain man had moved away from that body and had moved to another location far away. And they said, now what are we going to do? We're all going to die because he was the only one that had any sense about the Bible. Oh, folks. This church is not built upon any man. It's built upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and we depend on Him. Amen. We desire to be fed of Him and to be led by Him. What about today? What about tomorrow? Will we not serve Him as we should? We also see again the threat of chastening there in verse 19. And Job and Proverbs and Hebrews all speak about the chastening hand of God. And these are things that you need to understand. The Lord chastens only His children. He chastens only His children. Job, write these down so, because I don't have time to turn to them all. Job chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Look at that tonight. Proverbs 3, verse 11 and 12. And Hebrews 12, 5 through 13. And there you'll see who the Lord chastens. It's not the enemy. It's not the devil's children. It's His children that He chastens. The threat of chastening then falls upon His own blood-bought children. In verses 20 through 22 of the book of Revelation, chapter 3, we see the invitation to the backslidden, lukewarm Christian to come up, to open the door once again to sweet communion and fellowship. I told you a while ago about Song of Solomon. In chapter 5 and verses 1 through 8, and you take time to read that tonight when you get home. Take time to open that up and to look at what he's saying. She has a visitor at the door. The Bible says she had taken her ease. She was laying on the couch, even without her coat. There was a knock at the door. How often has God's Holy Spirit knocked at our heart's door? When we have stopped and took our ease and just sat back and relaxed and says, it's enough. Has God begin to knock at our door to get our attention? There in the book of the Song of Solomon, the Bible says she got up to answer the door, but it was too late. The blessings were gone and withdrawn. He would have moved on. That's not about salvation. That's about coming to the church. That old lukewarm church. She had gone cold. She wanted to take her ease and just rest. We're at the end of what we know as the day of grace, church. I know we're closing in on the time when He's going to call us home, but it's not time to quit now. It's not time to give up now, folks. He's even at the door. He's even at the door. Emmanuel, tonight, as I close, I implore all of us to get on fire for God. For the sake of this body, let us get on fire for God. Let our deeds prove that we love our Lord. Let our deeds show those who come up behind us the way to go. Let us not be like Laodicea. I plead with you as your pastor, let us do the things that we used to do. Let us go the extra mile and stay on, keeping on. And yes, I just said that. I believe There has been some quit. There has been some slowing down. But I see that as a pastor. What do you see as a person in the pew? Think about our singing. Do you sing with glory in your heart and mind to the Lord? Does your singing echo the praises of God in this house? Or are we guilty of just moving our lips without any thought of amazing grace, how sweet the sound? Is there something in your life that you used to do that you no longer do, that you know that while you were doing it, you were being blessed of God? Think about our prayer time. Think about our time of working together as God's children. Are we anywhere close to what we have been? Or are we beginning to wane in our efforts toward the Lord? That's beginning to look like Laodicea. That's the reason why we've got to be careful. Our deeds will tell the story of our life. The deeds that we perform speak of our spirituality. God sees it. Church, we're on the very edge of going home. We're too close now to turn back. We are way too close now to quit on God. This church has always been a working church. She's always been a loving church, a going church, a supplying church. What else can I say? I mean, the adjectives can continue to roll on off of my lips. Let us not just get satisfied and set back on our ease. Let us not become like Laodicea and become lukewarm. Not hot nor cold, just getting by. That kind of church makes the Lord sick. Let us not make the Lord sick. We're at the end, folks. Stay by the stuff, amen. Stay faithful. Stay true. You see a brother beginning to wane, build him up. You see your pastor begin to become at ease, stand behind him and pray for him. Lift up his arms. And I'm going to do the same for you. I'm going to pray for this body like I've never prayed before, because I know we're at the end of time and the devil's fighting churches harder than he's ever fought before. And the sad thing of it is, there's a lot of churches say, I give. I've had enough. Church, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. May God help us tonight. Let us be faithful. Let us stay true. Let us not be like Laodicea. But let it be known. Our deeds tell the story. Let's all stand, please. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, Lord, again, as we come before Your throne, I thank You for the day that You've given us, Lord. I thank You for Your blessings. Lord, I thank You even for tonight's service. And Father, we are a people that desire, dear God, to be pleasing unto You. The devil has fought us. But you are ever about the business of encouraging us to keep on keeping on. So Lord, tonight I pray for this body. May our deeds prove our spiritual wealth and welfare. May the works that we do, dear God, bring honor and glory to your name. And may they lead the others who come up behind us in the right direction. Oh, dear God, bless us tonight. And I plead thy forgiveness for sin. For it's in Jesus Christ's name, his sake, that I pray. And amen. Have our song leader, our pianist to come.
Let's go to number 30. We'll go to the first and last verse. Number 30.